Hello and welcome to the first round playoff edition of our state football podcast. I'm Northwest Herald sports editor Kyle Neighbors. You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors, and I'm joined as always by Northwest Herald sports writer Joe Stevenson. You can find him on Twitter at NWH_JoePrepZone, and as well as Steve Susi, our resident high school football expert here at Shaw Media. You can find him on Twitter at The Seuss. And while you're on Twitter, jump on there or Facebook and find Steve Susi's newsletter that you can sign up for if you search for McHenry County Sports. Go on to our Twitter or Facebook. There's links there. We're sending out a newsletter each week with exclusive content you can only get there, so go ahead and do that. So I'll bring you guys in now. Seuss, we got the playoff field set here. We're going to run through, start with 1A all the way up to 8A and kind of break down the brackets and give our predictions. You know a lot more about 1A than Joe and I do, so I'm going to throw it over to you and let you give us kind of let you set the field for us.
Well, I think more often than not, 1A turns into a contest of who's the best teams in the Northwestern Illinois Conference. For those unaware, that's usually the usual contenders, and it's no different this year. Lena Winslow, Forreston, Dakota, Stockton, teams of that nature look to be the favorites out of the top, and then down on the bottom of the bracket, you've got a team that was kind of floating between 1 and 2A all year long. You didn't know where they were going to land. They landed as the largest 1A school. So, and I think that in Tuscola, I think that's the favorite to come out of the South. So basically what you have at the top is a conference tournament with a few other teams sprinkled in from the Northwestern Illini. And I think one of two teams will get to DeKalb in Lena Winslow or Forreston. And then down on the bottom, obviously, I like Tuscola.
Yeah, Steve, Lena Winslow won that first game, the conference game, 28-14. I'm kind of looking at that thinking, oh, man, I'm just ready to get on to the semifinals and see those two slug it out again.
Well, you know, when I look at that potential rematch, I think back to what people were telling me before the season was that Forreston team was so good last year in winning the state championship, and they had so many players back. I'm not convinced at all that Forreston would not return the favor for that loss for the first time around. And, you know, it's real hard to beat a quality team at any level, you know, twice in a season. So I would bet that's going to be an absolute dogfight if those two both get to that semifinal game, a really good one as far as small school football goes.
You know, just glancing through the north half here, I want your thoughts on a couple teams that I know have been pretty good playoff teams in the past. Number two, Annalon Weathersfield at 8-1, and number six, Ottawa Marquette at 7-2. Are those teams that can maybe put something together?
Well, Annalon Weathersfield has had some injuries down the stretch, and their scores have been a little suspect getting them there. So I'm starting to think that maybe some of those injuries, especially for 1A, you can't have a lot of injuries to key players and just kind of replace and retool. Sometimes those things can be devastating. So I wonder how healthy that team really is right now. Ottawa Marquette is kind of interesting because, you know, their losses are to one, an out-of-state team, and two, to Hamilton West Hancock, an undefeated team playing, you know, in 3A. So you're looking at a couple of losses there that are of quality. So, you know, I think at 7-2, Ottawa Marquette is a team that you really kind of have to keep an eye on in that northern bracket as a team that might be able to do some damage. But my personal, when I look at the bracket a little bit closer, they got a really tough game in that first game against Fulton, a team that plays 2 and 3 out of the Three Rivers all year long and does a pretty good job with those teams. And then if they win that game, then they run right into Forreston. So it's a very challenging bracket for the Crusaders.
I'm not sure if the audience is going to be able to pick this up, but I believe, Seuss, your cat has some thoughts on 1A football instead of the dog this time.
Yeah, one of my two cats apparently has an opinion on my thoughts about Fulton. So we'll have to see what that is. If she comes up with a sock in her mouth, I think it means something, but I don't know what it is.
Now, I thought you'd be a Lena Winslow fan, being that they're the Panthers.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment.
One of his cats is about the size of a Panther. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. That's not the one that was just talking. The other one is often referred to as a lion. So I don't know which team would be his favorite in the various brackets, though.
Hey, Steve, in the South, how good's the Central Illinois Conference, where Tuscola comes out with like a, I think it was a 3-point victory over St. Teresa, and also a close game with Shelbyville, which those two, what St. Teresa's in, Shelbyville's in 2A and St. Teresa's in 3A. How good is that league?
Yeah, it's a really good league. And when you look even farther down in that league, there are teams like, you know, Warrensburg Latham is a really good football team that's got an 11 seed because they have three losses. And the one that kind of stands out to me in 2A is a 5-4 Mawika Central A&M team that it is probably as good by class as any 5-4 team you're going to find. They're really dangerous as a 14 seed. So it's a really good small school football league where you take a couple of conference losses, and that really shouldn't shake you too much going into the playoffs because you're going to be battle-tested.
Seuss, I was thinking maybe you had a shout-out for a certain coach at Decatur Lutheran.
Yeah, that's my buddy Craig Bundy, who used to coach in my area here with Bradley for a long time and then moments before that. But he told me about 5 or 6 weeks in the season when his team was undefeated. He says, you know, we've gone 2 years here with no injuries, and then in back-to-back weeks we had key players break their legs. So he was happy to get his team into the playoffs. I don't know how dangerous they're going to be once they get there with all those injuries.
All right, guys, quickly, let's go ahead and give us a state championship prediction or a state championship game prediction, and then your winner, Seuss.
I'm going to go with Forreston over Tuscola.
Joe, you want to venture to make a guess?
I was going to pick Lena Winslow over Tuscola.
I'm going to go with Tuscola over Lena Winslow. All right, well, let's move on to 2A here. Seuss, as you break down the bracket, what are you seeing?
Well, I mean, I think when we look at this bracket overall, the north side of the bracket is a lot deeper, in my opinion. And the most fascinating thing to me about the 2A bracket is I think the 1 versus 16 game is the most interesting game in the first round in this class and maybe across the entire field, where Sterling Newman, a wing T, run it down your throat football team, is playing Aurora Christian with quarterback Drew Clippard, who I witnessed throw for over 500 yards passing and 6 touchdowns in a game earlier this year, and that wasn't an isolated incident. So I think that game is going to be a fascinating clash of styles, and I think that, to be honest with you, that's an unfortunate draw for Aurora Christian. I'm not saying they can't win the game, because I think they can, but they were the kind of team that I thought would have been a high-digit seed that could have really made a run with a nice draw. This isn't a great draw for them, obviously, with Newman Central, a team that's been ranked number one all year long.
About Clifton Central seeing Mercer County, is this about it's got to be 3 or 4 times here they've done it recently now.
Yeah, they have done it recently, and there's some back history with this. There was Mercer County went to state and won 1 year after a tight semifinal win over Central at Mercer County. So there's been a little bit of history between those two programs. I think Central will get the better of them this time. Mercer County kind of snuck in the back door of the playoff field to get in, and I think the Comets are probably the favorite here.
Steve, how good's Hope?
You know, that's a great question, and I don't even know if I can really answer it. They have two wins on their schedule that weren't games, and their schedule is kind of hit or miss after that. When they played the big crossovers, they got absolutely blown out. And that happens a lot with smaller school teams that play in the Catholic League against the big school conferences in their crossover games. So you can't take a lot from that. You know, early in the season, they kind of opened some eyes with back-to-back wins over Metamora and Elgin St. Edward. And now we look ahead, and neither one of those two teams made the playoffs. So it's really hard to get a read on Hope. And obviously there's been a lot of, you know, off the field stuff involving them this year in regards to those forfeit victories. But from what I've seen of them, and I've seen a little bit on tape, they look super athletic, got some really, really talented athletes on the edge. So, I mean, they're the kind of team that I think they'll get past that game with Orr. Whoever wins that Newman Aurora Christian game, I think we'll have an interesting matchup there, too. So that's a really interesting little 4-team quadrant right there.
You know, I'd like to really point out here, too, that so Chicago Hope was supposed to play Bishop McNamara Week 9, and Bishop McNamara forfeited because of safety concerns, they decided. But there's actually a group of Bishop McNamara alums that went up that Friday night because Hope did a players versus teachers game, I guess. And yeah, some McNamara alums went up and actually donated a substantial amount of money and participated in the event. So good for them for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it was an unfortunate situation, and I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure what motivated the maneuver like they had. I mean, I know that, I mean, both the teams that forfeited to Hope were already out of playoff contention when those games came up, but I think it sets, you know, an unfortunate precedent moving forward. I'm a little concerned about, you know, teams moving forward having issues playing in certain places if they don't want to and all this other stuff, so it'll be interesting to see how the future holds in situations like that, because Mac's leaving the Catholic League. So, I mean, this issue for them probably won't hold up, but will it continue for other schools in the future? It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if the IHSA addresses this at all. They can't just have teams forfeiting games.
Yeah, I mean, when I looked at the draw, I was really interested to see what was going to happen in regard, because it looked like Hope was going to get a playoff game. Obviously, I think this bracket in particular kind of alleviates that issue, because it's another Chicago Public League school going to play Hope. So obviously they're ingrained and understand what comes with playing at Hope. And then if Hope were to win that game, then they won't get another home game in the second round. So if it comes back around in the third round, obviously whoever it is going to play a third round playoff game if Hope managed to get that far and was scheduled for a home game. So I think it's a problem that will probably go away for this year, but in 2018, it'll be interesting to see if it crops back up again.
In the southern half of the bracket, I'm seeing a lot of names that I'm pretty familiar with here. Anyone stand out as a clear favorite?
No, and that's, you know, when you look at the bracket down there, I don't have a clear favorite. I kind of fall back on the tradition teams like you just mentioned. For me, if I had to pick two teams that are kind of stand off the page to me, I would go with Tri-Valley and Maroa Forsyth.
How about Deer Creek Mackinac? Didn't they have a really deep run last year?
They did.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. They must have lost a lot, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they did. And they started out pretty well this season, and then they kind of hit a rough pocket in the middle of their season. They lost a game to Fisher, and then they lost another game, I believe, to a team that maybe didn't even make the playoffs. So it's been kind of a up and down, kind of messy situation. So, you know, for them, it's not been one of their better years. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, their four losses are to playoff teams, but their Week 9 loss is kind of telling. I mean, Tri-Valley is a good program, but it wasn't close. It was 56-14.
Right.
All right. Let's go ahead and make our pick for 2A here. Joe, go ahead. I'll let you go first.
You know what? I'm going to go with Shelbyville over Gibson City, Melvin Sibley.
You just wanted to put a Simpsons reference in there.
I did, because we know they know how to rock in Shelbyville.
Seuss?
Well, Shelbyville never wins the big game, so, you know, when it comes right down to it. So I don't know if we can do that, but I'm confused as to who's coming out of the North bracket, because I'm not really sure, I'm going to pick a South bracket team, and I'm going to take Tri-Valley. I'll take Tri-Valley over Rockridge to win the state championship.
All right, and I will go with, oh, God. Yeah, this is, I'm going to go with a traditional Newman Central Catholic to win. Let's say I'll take him over Maroa.
Hey, Steve, just a quick question. Speaking of references to movies and TVs, are Rockridge's players all named Johnson? I always wondered that.
I'd have to look that up to be sure, but yeah, I know where you're going with that.
Yeah, Kyle might be a little too young for that. It's a Blazing Saddles reference.
All right, here we go with 3A. We got a pretty interesting group here. Looking Farmington, I don't know a lot about Farmington at 9-0, but some of the teams right behind them in that bracket, pretty good pedigree. Williamsville's been down to state. Byron's always really good. Monticello, IC Catholic, obviously, is going to be very good. Seuss, how are you breaking this one down?
Well, in the North, like you just mentioned, there's a lot of teams in there that are going to make this bracket interesting. You know, I think you can look at every team on the home line and make a real positive statement about them. That being said, I think the clear favorite, until proven otherwise, is still IC Catholic. Even though they lost their quarterback, who I saw earlier in the year, and he really kind of made them go, they made some nice adjustments, and they still have so many tremendous athletes on that team. Their running back, Lazarus Eatman, is so good. Their wide receiver, twin brothers on the outside, very, very talented and enormous. They claim that they're 6'3". I talked to two of them after the game that I saw, and I'm about 6'1", and I swear they had at least 4 to 5 inches on me. They were enormous. So that's a really, really talented football team. And until I'm shown otherwise, I still think they're the overwhelming favorite in 3A. And then when you go down to the bottom, it's kind of an interesting bracket. There's a lot of teams down there with pretty records that I'm not really sure how much quality competition they've played. So the team that I kind of like down there is the 4 seed with 1 loss, Decatur St. Teresa, Jacardia Wright. They're very talented running back. They're kind of an interesting team in the sense that, I mean, if you might remember going back to last year, they were in the 1A state championship. So what happened there was their multiplier waiver expired because they made it to the state championship game. So then they were boosted up to 3A, and I still think they're a good enough football team to make a run here, especially in this bracket. So that's kind of the way I'm leaning in the South.
Now, I agree with you about IC Catholic. I think they're clearly the favorite in the northern half of the bracket. Is there anyone that you think can make a run that would kind of be a surprising team to people?
Well, I don't necessarily know if it would be a surprise to people, but I really do like that Williamsville team, and I was hoping that they would end up on the south side of that bracket. I think they're the kind of team. I think this is going to be another situation where the semifinal games are probably a lot better than the final, which is always what bothers me about this north-south system, is that we tend to get a lot better semifinal games than we do final games. And I think that's going to happen again here, because I think there are at least 5 teams, maybe even 6, on the north side of this bracket that I think could run right through the south bracket if given the opportunity, Williamsville being one of them.
Williamsville's what, giving up something like 54 points, is that right?
Yeah, and a bunch of them were in one game. Wow. So I mean, they're really good. I mean, we're not that far removed from Wilmington beating them in a state championship game down there on a last second field goal. They're very similar to that team in a lot of ways. They've got a really good running back. They've got the components in place to be really, really good. But like I said, I was kind of hoping that somehow that team would fall into the south bracket. And I had some guys asking me about that heading into the pairing show. Is there any chance they can slide south? And I just kind of shrugged my shoulders and said, it doesn't look like it. And I turned out to be right. I wish I wouldn't have been.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and make our picks for 3A. I'm going to go first this time. I'll take IC Catholic over Anna Jonesboro. Joe?
I will take IC Catholic over St. Teresa. I like that Central Illinois Conference with Tuscola, Shelbyville, and St. Teresa.
Joe's a smart man. I'm going to agree with him.
All right. Heading over to 4A here. We got a local team, actually, as the number one seed in the northern half, Johnsburg. Interesting to see Morris with a couple losses here late in the season fall all the way down to number 5. Let's see. On the southern half, I think the clear favorite, like it is every year, is Rochester. Seuss, what are you seeing here?
Well, I mean, on pairings weekend, we had a lot of things happen with this class that kind of changed the landscape of things. All along, it looked like some different teams were going to be in that north bracket, and the public league kind of shook things up. We've got a number of Chicago public league teams on the north side. I didn't think originally there were going to be quite that many. But the teams that fought their way in the last weekend all seem to filter into 4A, which I think makes the bracket on the north side pretty weak, to be kind of honest.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Other than the presence of a couple of teams, I think that overall it's not a very strong bracket. Now, in fairness, there's one public league team in there that I really like in Raby, and I think I've made that pretty clear. But beyond that, I think there are a lot of situations where the teams that I think are going to get deep in this bracket are going to do it with little resistance until we get to the quarters and semis.
Yeah, I don't see a way that we don't end up with Johnsburg and Morris playing in the quarters here. And yeah. I'd say I feel pretty confident saying that we're going to see Raby and Dixon in the quarters as well.
Well, the one thing that I don't necessarily think I'm going to question it, because I see where you're going with it. I wouldn't discount the possibility of maybe Geneseo picking off Dixon. They just beat Morris to get into the playoffs. And Dixon had kind of a surprising loss to Poplar Grove North Boone. And I questioned their schedule all season long. And Poplar Grove North Boone was really the first actual semi-legitimate team I thought Dixon played. And they got beat by them. So I kind of wonder about them a little bit moving forward. They have a very talented running back in Arthur Cox. But I've seen this Geneseo team in the playoffs before. I know what they're about. They are a physical, bruising type of football team that seems to thrive in the playoff environment. So they're kind of my dark horse on the bottom of that 4A bracket.
Did that win extend some crazy long playoff string for the Maple Leafs?
It's not a streak. It's they have achieved the most playoff bids in state history.
Okay.
I believe they've only, since the playoffs were started in the mid 70s, they've only missed twice.
Wow.
So yeah, that is the streak that was protected. It might be three times, but I do know that that's what the record was.
Now, Seuss and I have been having a little debate this week so far about Johnsburg versus Morris. If we get the quarterfinal, we're expecting. I think Johnsburg is the team to be in the northern bracket. He thinks Morris is going to win that game. Joe?
That, I think that is an intriguing, a really intriguing game, because Morris has given up, what, 117 points for the year or something like that, and Johnsburg scoring, I'd have to look it up. They got to be scoring like 45, 50 a game. So I think that's that's going to be really fun to see if that happens, the Johnsburg's offense against a really good defense. I like what Johnsburg's doing. So I think I would lean with you, Kyle. But I'd love to see that game. I hope we get that in the quarters.
Seuss?
Well, I think the one thing that, I mean, I guess is being downplayed a little bit here is, I mean, I don't know how big Johnsburg is up front, but I do know one thing. Morris is much bigger than your average 4A team up front and in the trenches on both sides of the football. I don't know that maybe Johnsburg can deal with that, but that would be my concern for any team playing Morris in 4A, not just Johnsburg. Can you deal with the fact that you're going to be giving up a lot of size in the trenches?
See, I think the thing that helps Johnsburg there is with this spread offense they're running, they're not holding the ball long at all either. I mean, they're running out of shotgun and they're getting rid of the ball really quickly.
Yeah, and I wouldn't disagree with that being helpful. There's no doubt about it. But my general point is, defensively, I don't know how they stop Dransfeld from running all over the place with that line blowing out holes like they're capable of doing.
So maybe this is a higher scoring game than you might expect.
It could be. There's no doubt about that. But I think that when we're looking at what I don't want to say we're looking at polar opposites here, but it's just going to be interesting to see which team can take the other guy's thing away, and I think you're right. You could have a shootout here where both teams are doing what they want to do offensively, and it's just a matter of who executes it better.
All right, we'll quickly go through the southern half of the bracket, because I'll go ahead and write a check to anyone that wants to take, anyone can write me a check that wants to take the rest of the field against Rochester. I feel pretty good about that one. They've done a lot, but Seuss, I guess for the argument's sake, is there anyone that you think can pick Rochester off? And I do think there is a potential second round game, but I still feel pretty good about Rochester.
There's history there, and you're referring to Belval-Altoff.
Yep.
And that would be a potential second round matchup there for them. But no, the answer is no. I mean, I'm going to pull a Kirker, and Joe knows what I'm talking about. I'll take Rochester, and everybody else can have everyone else, and we'll be fine as far as the situation. Rochester and anyone else was what he picked on the playoff show. If you didn't see it. So.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Joe. You kind of feel the same way.
I agree too. I mean, Rochester, Derek Leonard won the Leonard Bowl this year. They beat Sacred Heart Griffin, and then they beat Decatur MacArthur, which also beat Sacred Heart Griffin. So, yeah, they're so good. I'm going with Rochester there as well.
Yeah, and for the state championship, I'm actually going to take Rochester over Johnsburg in a rematch.
I am too.
And I'll take Rochester and Morris.
Yeah, look at that. Getting pretty consistent here, guys. Yeah. All right. 5A, here we go. Chicago Phillips, not surprisingly, the number one seed here. We kind of figured it was going to be that way all year long. But there are some interesting teams in this bracket, I actually think, particularly Lamont. Seuss, what are you looking at?
Well, when you look at this bracket, I'm kind of interested in. You got the little public league quadrant at the top there. I'll be interested to see Phillips and Solorio play again. The first game between the two of them was quite a matchup. Quincy Patterson, a very talented quarterback for Solorio. So Phillips is not going to breeze into the quarterfinals as easily as I thought they might, because Solorio obviously has the ability to stay with them. The other team that kind of jumps off the page at me from that bracket, and I'm fascinated to see how they do in these playoffs, is Sterling. They have not had a ton of playoff success in the past, but like I said, you know, over the weekend, I kept waiting for someone to step up and challenge this team, give them a game even, and it just didn't happen. They destroyed DeKalb in week 9. I expected that to be a closer game. They have just picked people apart all year long. And I personally think that, you know, if they can kind of get that playoff, bugaboo off their back and get a roll of steam going, I'd be fascinated to see a potential semifinal between Phillips and Sterling, because maybe that's a better football game than I would have thought at the beginning of the year. Because when I learned Phillips was playing up in 5, I basically said, you can save yourself some time and start engraving that trophy now. But I'm not saying I still don't believe that Phillips is a favorite, but I think that's a very interesting game. And then when you go to the South, I think it's a free-for-all in this bracket. I really do. I mean, when I look at it, I can see 5-6 teams that I would not be completely stunned to find in DeKalb. And usually my list of potential teams to get to the state final is a lot shorter than that.
Is Peoria on that list?
Yes, it is. And
okay,
that's,
I wondered about that, yeah. That's an interesting first-round game.
I think it's a fascinating first-round game with Hillcrest. I mean, it's just one of those situations where Peoria has put up giant offensive numbers all year long, but Hillcrest can match them. And their skills and strengths that they have, Hillcrest has got those same things. So I think that's a very, very good, intriguing first-round football game. The quarterback, Caron Taylor, is supposedly healed now from the various injuries that have kept him out of some games earlier in the year and probably led to the 3 losses that Peoria had. So as a 13 seed, that's terrifying. I mean, that's the kind of team that you don't want to see on a 13 line if you're in a bracket. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting firepower down there. There's a lot of good offensive teams. And to be honest with you, I'd be perfectly happy pulling one of about 6 or 7 teams out of a hat and just saying that's my pick out of the South bracket.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here. Maybe a chance of a rematch in the semis for Dunlap and Washington. I mean, I like that Washington team. They've done well in the playoffs in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that you could definitely see. And it's, you know, I just look at this bracket and there are a lot of teams in here that I don't, to be honest with you, know a ton about. I just kind of know what they've done this season and who they've played and things of that nature. I'm still fascinated by the 2 Central State 8 entrants in the Southern bracket. I like Decatur MacArthur a lot. Any team that can beat Springfield Sacred Heart in a contest is good by me, but then you can't ignore Glenwood because they beat MacArthur. So it's, I mean, there's some interesting teams in there. There's some teams that I think more of as 6A teams. There are some teams that I think of more as 4A teams in this bracket. So it's kind of a mishmash here. And like I said, I don't really have a clear favorite in my head as to who gets to DeKalb out of the South.
All right, Seuss, well, do your best here. Give us your prediction.
Well, I'll take Phillips to win, and I'm gonna go with Dunlap. But that's really, to be honest with you, I just spun the dartboard around here and threw it at it. So that's really the way I feel about that South bracket. I'm not sandbagging.
I also have Phillips over Dunlap.
I'll go with Phillips over Washington. I'll say that Washington gets Dunlap in a rematch. I like what that program has done. All right, moving over to 6A here, guys. Well, Joe, how about we start with you for this one, breaking it down, because we got an interesting little quadrant here to start out with, some local team with Prairie Ridge leading the way against Crystal Lake Central.
Yeah, Crystal Lake Central gets the 16 against Prairie Ridge, the 1, and then the next game is Cary Grove 9 at number 8, St. Ignatius. And this could have almost worked out quite a bit differently because Crystal Lake Central was leading that game all night.
Against Cary Grove.
Against Cary Grove on Friday night. And then Cary Grove scored on the last play of the game and went for two to win. Otherwise, Central is 6-3. Cary Grove's 5-4. And I looked it up. Central would have been like a 13 seed and Cary would have been a 14, which actually might have benefited both teams better staying away from Prairie Ridge a little longer. But I mean, obviously you don't want to go lose a game, but it's just interesting the way that it worked out. But yeah, I still think Prairie Ridge is definitely the team to beat in the northern half in all of 6A. I don't know as much about some of these teams like Willowbrook or that are sitting out there, but Cary Grove hasn't played its best ball the last couple of weeks. I really liked Cary Grove through week 7. But I still think Cary Grove might be the biggest hurdle there in the northern half.
Yeah, just because of the how well they know each other. I think exactly. You're probably right there. I think Prairie Ridge is a heavy favorite. The south half of this bracket, Seuss, is rather interesting.
Yeah, it's really kind of it's layered. I think there are a couple of teams that are clearly better than the rest of them right now, and then some things happened in week 9 that kind of really tossed this bracket a little bit and tossed it in a direction differently than I would have thought it would have been originally. And let me add another layer to all of your Crystal Lake Cary Grove maneuvering. If St. Ignatius hadn't upset St. Lawrence and their great running back Torrey Clinton in week 9, then those seeds would have the Cary Grove would have jumped up to an 8, and that potential second round game would have been back at Prairie Ridge. So that's the kind of the layers that come into this. But going back to the south bracket, I mean, Crete Money is a really good football team, and I think they actually demonstrated that in a loss back in week 1 with how well they played with Lincoln Way East to open the season. Because since that game, I mean, and granted, the Southland Conference is nowhere near as good as it's been in past years, but they just rambled right through their conference schedule and pretty much dominated everybody else that they played. So it'll be interesting to see how they fit into this mix. I think they're going to have a deep run in this bracket, but there's some potential problems lurking out there, and one of them in my mind, and I hardly ever do this, but I'm putting all my chips on a 4-loss team in that bracket. I'm putting them on the Providence Catholic Celtics. So I think they are a nightmare for anyone to have to deal with in this bracket. They have played an incredible schedule this season that has prepared them for anything they will see in 6A, and I think that includes Prairie Ridge. So that's a really good football team that sits there with a 5-4 record that makes this whole bracket kind of interesting to look at.
Yeah, I don't think you can count out a really young but a really talented Nazareth team at the 2 seed. And no. Sacred Heart Griffin, I mean, how many times do we have to see them put it together in the postseason?
And I think that's a great bracket for them. That's probably the best they could have hoped for from a 7-2 situation for them. A Shepherd team on the 8-1 line in that 3-14 game above them that, to be honest, probably hasn't been pressed anywhere near as hard as Sacred Heart Griffin has in their 2 losses. And then that bracket above it, you know, it's got Nazareth in it. But other than that, I mean, there are not a lot of teams that just kind of jump off the page in the bottom half of that bracket. So, you know, you can only sleep so long on Sacred Heart Griffin in any playoff type of situation, and it would be really surprising for me if they were not at least in the quarterfinals here.
Joe, go ahead and give us your pick.
All right. I will take Prairie Ridge over Providence.
All right. I'm going to go with Prairie Ridge over Sacred Heart Griffin.
I'm going to go back to agreeing with Joe.
Do you guys plan this before?
Great minds. Think
well, you know, we just don't want to agree with you, essentially.
All right. We'll head over to 7A. And a team that I don't think any of us would have predicted going into the season that we'd see on the top line here in Hananega is the number 1 seed in this bracket here. Normal Community is 2nd, a team that I kind of doubted but just continues to put up big numbers. Seuss, what way are you leaning here, or what's interesting to you?
Well, I mean, the one thing about this bracket, when I look at it on paper, is I think I can't call it the South bracket anymore because that's not what it is. The bottom bracket is world stronger than the top. So that's when I look at that, I think in my mind, the top three teams in 7A are all on the bottom. I'm kind of hedging my bets a little bit on who I think is going to come out of the North. It might even be more than the first three. So it's heavily stacked. I was hoping in my mind that Lake Zurich, St. Charles North, and St. Rita would not all be on the same side of the bracket, because I wanted to see though two of those three teams in a potential state final game, or in East St. Louis as well, and they're all on the same side. So that's kind of what I'm looking at when it comes down to it. I think there's a pretty significant instability in the two brackets, and there's nothing nefarious about it. It's just the way the numbers fell.
Joe, you got any thoughts on 7A?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Steve. I like some of those teams on the bottom part of it with East St. Louis. Even, you know, I think Mount Carmel's intriguing back in the playoffs at 6-3. And I'm sorry, Steve, what's their quarterback, the good baseball player? Alec Thomas.
They've actually moved him to wide receiver to try to get him more involved.
And he's back playing football now because they were missing him for a while because he was doing – he's so good at baseball. But I agree, there's some real interesting teams there on the southern part.
You know what, I'm gonna go ahead and start making our picks here. I believed all along that East St. Louis was the most talented team in the state. I'm not gonna move away from that. Now I'm gonna take East St. Louis over Batavia. Joe, how about you?
I too like East St. Louis. I actually, on the playoff show the other night, I wrote them down in the wrong order. I have East St. Louis over a team that I really like in the North, Lincoln Way Central, only with that one loss to Lincoln Way East.
Yeah, Lincoln Way Central was a pretty good program that had kind of fallen down, and here they are back again. Seuss, what do you got?
I have East St. Louis as well. I wrestled with this one for a little while because I really like that Lake Zurich team, but I think – If those two were to meet, I think East St. Louis has just got a little bit too much firepower for even that very good Lake Zurich defense to contain. Then in the North, it became kind of a bit of a guessing game for me, and I finally settled on Wheaton North, a team that I think is built the right way for playoff success when the weather gets a little bit inconsistent, a team that's got a really good ground game. Played in the DuPage Valley this year and had a good accounting for itself. But like I said, the north side of the bracket, I think to be honest with you, I could pick one of about eight teams up here and feel like I had a shot of being right.
That second round, potential second round game, Steve, but possibly Batavia and Wheaton North, looks like a real intriguing game.
Yeah, it does. And it's one of those things when I look at it that I think on the basis of some of their previous scores earlier in the season, I think that game might be played in like an hour and a half and finished with like a 10-7 score. So that's kind of what I think, if that matchup comes to fruition, is what we're looking at.
Okay, one more class to go, guys. And number one seed, Lincoln Way East. It's hard for me to make an argument that they're not going to win it. I mean, you got wins over Crete Moni, Maine South, Lincoln Way Central, Homewood Flossmoor, Bolingbrook. And I say all that, and then I immediately go, stop that. We've seen 8A go crazy before. So, Seuss, tell me how 8A is going to go crazy.
Well, I think the most interesting thing to consider when you're looking at 8A is I think what you need to do is just enjoy what's happening and not concern yourself with the seeds. Because I look at this sheet and I see a boatload of underseeds that I think are more than capable of winning their first round game. May not happen, but what that usually means when I see that that's the case is that we're going to have a lot of games in the first round. They're going to be extremely competitive, interesting football games. I could make a laundry list of them for you. I won't do that, but when I first looked at the bracket when it came out, it was very similar to what I had projected Saturday morning. And when I looked at it on Saturday morning, I said to myself, I have no idea how I'm going to pick these first round games, let alone how I'm going to pick a champion. And I thought originally that maybe the north bracket was a little bit, or the top bracket was a little bit more, a little deeper. And then I looked at it harder and I'm like, no, it's not. They're both extraordinarily deep. I think they're just, there are so many good teams in the classification that, I mean, and then when you add in the factor that Glenbard West slipped back down into 8A and gave them yet another power team in there, it's going to be wild. It's going to be crazy. And it, like you said, I don't think you can just punch Lincoln Way East pass into the state championship game based on what's happened this regular season, because I think there's just going to be a lot of teams in there that are more than capable of giving them a good game, and if they don't play very well, they could lose.
Which 6-3s do you like best? Are you looking like at Naperville North? I know you liked Gurney Warren.
Yeah, that's one. You've hit a couple of them right there that I really think are good football teams. Palatine is another. They have an interesting first round match. It's at 6-3 that I like. Stevenson, I don't think you can ever sleep on them, especially come the postseason time. You know, there's just so many out there, and it's like when I look at this bracket and I say to myself, I know that Naperville Central is a really talented football team. I know they're really good. They're a 13 seed. I mean, that's just, to me, that's like a middle of the field in a normal tournament. And this is a really, really good team. And I'm fascinated to see what happens. I like Lake Park a lot at the 29 seed. I don't think they're going to beat Homewood Flossmoor, but would I be floored if it happened? I really wouldn't.
All right, let's go ahead and make our pick for this. Seuss, you go first.
You know, I'm going to reluctantly say that I'm going to go with Lincoln Way East to win, and I'm going to take him over Marist to win the championship.
Okay, we're a little similar here. I'm going to go with Maine South getting to the state final game by beating Lincoln Way East in a rematch for the semifinals, because that game was
I don't mind that. Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you. That's something that I considered as well.
Yeah, I'll do that, and I'll take them over Marist. I really like the Marist team. They've done everything they need to in a tough schedule. Joe?
I was along the same line of both of you guys. I was kind of torn between Maine South and Lincoln Way East. I agreed with Steve. I have Lincoln Way East over Marist.
Okay, well, that will wrap it up for us this week, guys. We'll get back together next week and talk about all the craziness and figure out where we're at. Thanks for listening.